I love the Christmas season, and I love the Christmas music and going to hear it and watching it and stuff. We were here for the Winter Harp this week. It was great, and but we also watched this week a couple of TV specials for Christmas. Michael Bublé, and you know, I watch that and I wait and I wait and I wait for a Sacred Carol. And he finished his show with Silent Night, but that was it. That was the only Sacred Carol in the whole thing. Christmas show. But Jesus doesn't appear, except at the very end. A number of years ago, my wife and I ended up being in... we didn't even know this when we left, but we happened to be in New York City for the lighting of the Christmas tree in Rockefeller Center. And we just sort of stumbled upon it, and we were there. So, you know, they do that every year, and they have, and so we watched the lighting of the Rockefeller tree this year as they had it on TV. Not one carol, because you don't want to offend people. After all, we may call this Christmas, but for someone it might be Hanukkah, or it might be another period of time, and so we can't offend people by making Christmas about Christ. And so if we're going to be in the open market, shall I say, then we have to go with secular carols about happy holidays and it's looking like Christmas, whatever that means, because there's no nativity in the looking like Christmas event. It means there's snow, even if you're in Hawaii or whatever, you know, that's what Christmas looks like. And we're missing the heart of Christmas. The child who gave his name to the event and the season is forgotten. Can't talk about it anymore in the same way that we once could. I'm not negative and anti-culture and so on, but I just sense the movement to being acceptable to all means you can't really be direct about anyone. And we miss the importance as a result of the child in the manger. Because the child in the manger is the mighty God, and a mighty God can change our lives. Like, think about it. Think about it. There has never been an event in all of history that can compare to the miracle of the incarnation. God became man. God became man. God, the eternal, stepped into the temporal. Like, this should blow our minds. This should radically change how we think about everything. This should overwhelm us with what is happening here. The mighty God becomes a baby held in arms. He who is eternal, as I said, becomes temporal. He who was the creator becomes the creature. He who is sovereign over all things becomes the Savior. And all of this should make us wonder, should make us reflect, should make us speechless in awe that God, God who made history, entered history with a redemptive purpose in mind. Never, ever had this ever happened before, and never, ever would it happen again. The incarnation is incredible when we stop and think about what it is and what it means and how it should change our lives. When Mary wrapped her baby in some available cloth and rested him in a straw mattress of sorts in a feeding trough for some animals that first night, did she know that she was laying to rest the one who was God? As the more recent carol says, Mary, did you know that when you kissed your baby, you kissed the face of God? When the shepherds left their pastures to follow what the angels had said was happening in Bethlehem, and did they realize when they looked upon Jesus that they were gazing into the eyes of God? When the Magi caught up with the child a couple of years later, rapped on his door to give him gifts, did they realize that the hands that unwrapped those gifts were the hands of God? This is supposed to grab us and radically change us, fundamentally overwhelm us, that God was in that little baby. And not a part of God was in that baby, but God resided in the child. And so the first thing I think that we need to understand as we begin to even contemplate the miraculous nature of the birth of Christ is that the child is God. Is God. God in flesh. Last week, we looked at the first of the names for Christ that are included in Isaiah 9, and we looked at Wonderful Counselor, and you know, it's possible that you could look at that name and not see God, a Wonderful Counselor, someone who gives counsel in life. Now, you're intended to see God because only God gives wise and perfect counsel. Only God is ever described in Scripture as being wonderful. So the very fact that it's the Wonderful Counselor says it's the God Counselor by very definition. But it is possible to sort of say, well, that's a nice name of a characteristic and an attribute that he displays and he shows, but it doesn't necessarily say that he's God, although I might beg to differ. But you can't get to the mighty God and not realize that it's this is God. This is God Almighty. For unto us a child is born, a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That these names refer to God is so obvious. Here's how Jewish writers translate this verse. They translate it this way. They say, the God who is the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Eternal Father, calls his name Prince of Peace. See, they can't get around the fact that this is God that is being referred to. One Jewish writer stated, "It is impossible for a human child to be called Mighty God." Well, fully divine, fully human, in the incarnation of Christ. And here the great name for God is used. The great name is El Shaddai. El Shaddai. It's not God's formal name. His formal name is Yahweh, his given name, if you like, but it's the most common name for God in the Bible, is El Shaddai. It's the God of power, and it's only ever used of the one true God. In fact, Jeremiah tells us this, "Great and mighty God, whose name is the Lord Almighty, El Shaddai. Great are your purposes, mighty are your deeds." The story of Christmas is the story of the coming of the one who is God. And we can't miss it. We can't minimize it. It's okay and fun to enjoy the traditions within this season of Santa Claus and reindeer and jingle bells and sleigh rides. It's okay. It's not wrong. It's festive, but it's not the heart. It's not the important. It's not the ever meaningful thing. And don't ever be tempted to think that the story of Jesus is an older but equally mythical story of a God who, like Santa, may see you when you're sleeping and also when you're awake and can reward you for whether you've been bad or good and can traverse the globe in the space of one night. Jesus is not Santa. In fact, it's Santa who is a cheap knockoff of the reality of God, of the real thing. And this season anticipates Christmas, and it's to fill us with wonder that God stepped into history. Isaiah 7 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign that a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel, which is God with us. Make no mistake, Jesus was God wrapped in flesh. God on earth. Not in the sense that he inhabits all things, but that he inhabited flesh. Took upon himself the nature of man, humanity. The mystery of God is great. I accept these things. I don't understand these things. You know, that God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one essence. This also is a mystery. And we can't help but think of it at this point in time because there's the Father and there's the Spirit, but the Son is on earth in baby at the incarnation. The Old Testament doesn't speak as directly as the New about our triune God. But it's there. The seeds for understanding it in the incarnation is there. The clearest verse in the Old Testament, as far as I'm aware, the clearest verse that points to a triune God is Isaiah 48. Notice what it says, verse 12, it says, "Listen to me, O Jacob and Israel." Listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, whom I call. I am he. I am the first and the last. Who can say that? Only God? I'm the Alpha and Omega. I'm the first and the last. And then verse 16, "From the beginning I have not spoken in secret. From time it came to be, I have been there." The person who is speaking says, "I was there when creation unfolded. I was there." Okay? From the very beginning, I was there. And now, the Lord God, El Shaddai, the Lord God, has sent me with his Spirit. Who's the me? Who's talking? El Shaddai is the Father. And this one was sent with the Spirit. A reference. The one speaking was the one who made Israel his people. He's the first and the last. He's the eternal from the beginning. He was there. And he was sent from the Father with the Spirit. And Christmas is a time to enter into the great mystery of the Godhead, a God who loves us and gave himself for us in the sending of his Son. But that he is El Shaddai, it means that in his frailty there was strength. In his frailty there was strength. He came as a baby. He came, he gave up what was his with the Father, we're told. And at Christmas, we celebrate Christ's coming, a coming of which the wonderful counselor part of his character is clearly evident. There to bring hope. But in the first coming, the mighty God aspect, maybe it was not so much revealed, but it was there. Because some have made the mistake of assuming that it is not there at all. Look at the background of Isaiah chapter 9. In verse 2, it says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. And you have multiplied the nations. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with the joy of the harvest, as they are glad when they are divided, when they divide the spoil." When this child, which Isaiah is prophesying about, comes, he would come with power. Not just sustaining power, but with the power described in the Bible as overcoming power, victorious power. Is it any wonder that Jesus came with the power that was able to overcome the effects of natural law? I mean, think about it. This one comes. Do you remember? Remember, Jesus was with the disciples on a boat, and a storm came up. And they were afraid. Afraid for their lives. Afraid the boat would capsize. Was Jesus afraid? No, he was asleep. They had to wake him up. He said, "Master, save us." And what did he do? He rebuked the winds and the waves. In an instant, it became calm. I mean, that doesn't happen. The wind stops and the waves keep rolling. But in an instant, he who is God spoke a word and it was calm. And what did the disciples say? "Who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him?" Who is this? He's El Shaddai. He's the mighty God who has taken on human form. Jeremiah 33 says this, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days, at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David. And he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteousness." Again, the backdrop for the birth of the Savior was the horror of Rome, the wickedness of Herod, Mary and Joseph having to flee from Israel to Egypt to protect this, their child, who was God in flesh, because the powers of darkness who ruled the world would seek to destroy even this child as a baby. Never let the baby obscure your view of God. He is the El Shaddai. Never let the frailty of his flesh mask the grandeur of his strength. And know that in meekness he came so that we might know his power. In meekness he came so that we might know his power. I don't know what your struggles are, but I know that God is able to provide for your life and give strength and infuse his mighty power into the situation of your life and circumstance. Mark 5 tells the story of a desperate father who comes to Jesus and says, "My daughter is sick, please come." And Jesus said, "Okay, fine, I'll go." But no sooner had he said that he would go than problems started to intervene. He didn't get very far and somebody reached out and grabbed him. And so he had to stop and deal with that situation. Then they started off again. And some of this man's servants came and said, "Don't bother with the rabbi anymore because your daughter is dead." And Jesus said, "She's not dead. Let's keep going." And they started to laugh at him. Not the man whose daughter was dead, but those who worked for the man whose daughter was dead started to laugh at him and said, "We know what dead is, and she's dead." And into the dire circumstances of that life, God breathed his power, and Jesus spoke a word, and she came back to life. El Shaddai, the mighty God. And his power is available for our lives, for our circumstance. Isaiah says, "I am the Lord and there is no other Savior." No one else. "First, I predicted your deliverance. I declared what I would do, and then I did it. I saved you. No foreign God has ever done this before. You are witnesses that I am the only God, says the Lord. From eternity to eternity, I am God. No one can oppose what you do. No one can reverse my actions." You know, we are living in a day and age where Christmas means Santa Claus and snow and happy feelings and family get-togethers more than it means the Christ child. It's moving in that direction. We sacrifice the name Christ for a season. But the reality is, he says, as we do that, then we reach a stage where we say, so everyone's pursuit of God is fine. Everyone's God is good. Everyone's God leads to good things, leads to heaven or nirvana or the end of being with God. And there's no distinction. Ours is just another way. Ours is just another path that we choose to believe. It doesn't make it any more significant than what anyone else believes. And we need to fight that. Because there is only one God who entered history in the incarnation and became humanity and dwelt among us so that we could behold the glory of God and know the righteousness of God through the death of Christ. Only Him. Only Him. And so as we go through this Advent season, yes, He's the wonderful counselor who gives direction for our life, but He is El Shaddai, the mighty God whose power is available to us. That the Almighty God came and dwelt among us, Emmanuel. He's God. And it begs, do you know Him? Do you know Him? Because the child in the manger is the mighty God who can change your life. Christmas is a time to experience the power of the Almighty God. Don't ever be pulled into thinking that Jesus was just a nice little baby that we could wrap our arms around. No. He is God who wraps His arms around us. That's my King. Beyond description. Let's pray.
Father, when we begin to appreciate that El Shaddai came and dwelt among us, and we celebrate at Christmas not the birth just of a little child, but that that child was God. To understand that demands my loyalty, demands my all. May we this morning in response say, He's my King. Amen.